It's your host, Varsha and Mega, and welcome back for another episode with Real Time with Mega Varsham.
Hey guys, it's Mega, and today we have another special guest. She's a corporate strategist, and we're really looking forward to talk to her.
Yes, I'm so glad that she's here with us. Here is Miss Jessica Guzik, and thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we were so excited. So why don't you talk about what you do?
Yeah, definitely. I do corporate strategy, so that basically means that I do the research and analysis to help companies figure out how they're going to grow and evolve. And on the side, I produce and host my podcast, The Art of Speaking Up, which is a show for professional women.
Yeah, so speaking about that, why don't you talk a little bit about your podcast? What is it about and why did you start it?
Yeah, so I started it because of my own struggle. When I started my 9-to-5 career, I really struggled deeply with confidence. And at the time, I didn't even see it as a struggle with confidence. I just believed that I wasn't good enough to be where I was and that I didn't have the courage that it would take in a work environment to be successful. And at the time, I would, you know, try to do professional development trainings and go to workshops that were designed to support women. But I always felt a little bit like there was a lot of pressure and there wasn't a ton of acceptance around feeling awkward or struggling to speak up. And I really wanted to create content for women who are still finding their voice and finding their confidence, because I wanted other women to know that it's okay if you haven't figured it out yet. It's okay if you're struggling. And so that's really a lot of what I talk about on the show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's super cool. That's really amazing.
Yeah, and I really like the name too, Art of Speaking Up, which is like
really
nice.
Yeah, it's a unique name. I love it.
Thank you.
We will link her podcast below if you guys want to
listen
to it.
So go check it out.
Yeah, I recommend you guys listening to it.
So speaking about careers, Mega and I are going to senior year next year, and like we're also concerned for like, you know, choosing our careers, and I'm still not sure what to do. Like, I don't know if I should be a doctor or engineer. So like one of the questions I wondered about is like, how do we find the perfect career and how do you know if it's like the right one for you?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I think it can feel like so much pressure when you're trying to figure out what is the right career for you and what you want. And I think sometimes it's important to take the pressure off of figuring it out all at once and figuring it out right away. Because often what will happen is you will do something and then you'll see how much you enjoy it and you'll learn through trial and error. And even if you feel like you have to commit, if it's something like becoming a doctor or something that requires a commitment, you can still explore it before you make the choice. You can talk to people, you can learn about it, you can just immerse yourself in it and watch how you respond. Do you feel excited? Do you feel bored? Do you feel overwhelmed? And that can really guide you, just paying attention to, do I have a natural excitement around this? Do I want to know more? Or am I totally uninterested in this topic?
Yeah, so I'm like in the state of doing, I have no idea what I want to be. And a lot of my friends already have their like careers and futures planned out. Like I've been taking a lot of the, you know, the career tests online and those are all giving me different results. So like, I still have no idea, like I'm good at math. So I don't know if I should go in the math field, but like, I'm also thinking about the medical field. So I still have no idea what to do. And it's kind of stressing me out because I was like, oh my God, I only have 1 year left. Like I have to think about
choose
this.
Something.
And like, depending on your career, it's like that depends on what college you need to go to. Cause like some colleges, you know,
different majors.
Yeah, exactly. So like if you know your career, then you know, like you have an idea of what college you want to go to. So this whole thing was stressing me out.
I understand that. One thing that might help you feel a little bit less stressed is I went to law school. It was very expensive. It was 3 years of my life. It was very stressful. Wow. And partway through, I realized I don't think I like practicing law. And now I'm many years out of law school. At the time, it felt really scary. And it felt like I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was in a really bad situation. And now several years later, everything's fine. And I learned a lot from that experience. So you might not choose the right thing, but you're mm-hmm. going to learn so much about yourself mm-hmm. if you end up choosing the quote unquote wrong thing. Uh-huh. And it's going to lead you to something better.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that too. And so would you mind if you answer some questions from our listeners?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So we have a question from @Neeraja P07. So she asked, how do you narrow down options before going to college if you have so many interests?
Okay. One way is to gather information. And I guess mm-hmm. before I go even further, I'll say having a lot of interest is a good thing because some people don't even have any starting point and they're totally overwhelmed. So the fact that you have a list means there's lots of things you like. So the worst that can happen is you don't choose the most amazing thing on your list. But I think gathering information is really important. And I think sometimes we get really used to using our logic brain to solve problems. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to figure out your path, I think it's really important to feel what you're feeling as you research these things, learn about these things, experience these potential paths in smaller ways. Do you feel excited? What does your intuition tell you? So you almost want to turn off your thinking and just experience and see what is feeling like the thing that you're being drawn to.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, I think that's some good tips. Another of my friends asked, @Hershey.vv asked, how do you find your passion and how do you keep practicing and hold yourself accountable?
How do you find your passion and keep practicing and hold yourself accountable? I think your passion finds you, but in order for it to find you, your eyes have to be open to it. So I mm-hmm. think you find your passion by paying attention. You're talking about someone and they're talking about their career path, do you feel curiosity about it? If you do, then start asking questions. And as you sort of pay attention to your own curiosity, you engage with people and you engage with the world based on pursuing what you're wondering mm-hmm. about and what looks interesting. And I think staying with it, if it truly is your passion, I believe you won't be able to stay apart from it even when it's really, really hard. There might be difficult days and difficult times, but when you really care about something, sometimes it's actually easy to stay committed to that thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we also wanted to talk about confidence and our comfort zone. So ever since I was little, I was always a shy person. I was an introvert. Like, everyone used to call me the introvert. And, you know, as I grew up, I gained a lot more confidence. But like, starting this podcast was a huge thing for me because, like, you know, public speaking is something that I'm always super scared about. So starting this podcast was out of my comfort zone. Like, what are some tips for those who struggle with confidence?
Well, first of all, that's amazing that you started the podcast, and that's a huge win when it comes to confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it is helpful to take the thing that we're working on, like confidence, and come up with the tiniest step forward that we could possibly think of. Mm-hmm. Because if we're working on something that's hard for us and we get really ambitious and we say, oh, I'm going to give a speech to 500 people confidently, that might be too much. It might feel too daunting. And just like with your podcast, you probably Googled what steps you needed to do or bought a microphone or did these little things. And I think sometimes it's really important to engage in those small mm-hmm. steps. So for anyone listening, I would ask you to get creative and ask yourself, what is okay. the tiniest thing that I can come up with that yeah. is only a slightly out of my comfort zone?
Okay. And like, how do we speak up, like, without feeling scared? Like, without, for example, in school, like, if we want to ask a question but we think, you know, it's a stupid question or we want a stupid answer or something like that, so how do we gain confidence for that?
There's a couple things. One is you can look at every time you do it as practicing for the future mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. there will be times in the future where it might be even harder and more intimidating. And all these moments that you have now are opportunities to practice and get better. And the other thing about fear and being afraid is that sometimes you have to not take the fear as a signal that something's wrong. And you just have to recognize that you're feeling these physiological sensations and you're in the experience of fear, but you still have choice. You still have choice to proceed even with the fear present. And it's all about really setting an intention to do that when the time is right. And you have to know that in the moment, your brain's going to try to talk you out of it and you're going to come up with all kinds of reasons, and you have to be ready for that to happen, and you have to be ready to do it anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's some good info. Yeah, and I also, like Mega said, she was talking about how she was an introvert. For me, that was like a different, for me, I have a different story. Like I'm like an introvert and a extrovert, so an ambivert, I would say. Like in sometimes I'm an introvert. I have a whole friend group, so there's like this friend group where it's like, you know, it's the shy people, and then there's people who's like always talking, or the popular kids and stuff like that. But then my group is like divided into like two mini groups where I'm just like comfortable with a few people, but I'm not that comfortable with other people. So I'm like introvert and extrovert at the same time. I've also seen like a lot of students like in school, like they're like always changing their, you know, appearance. Just to look cool in front of their friends or something, and they're not like trying to be them, like they're not trying to, you know, being themselves. So like how do you be yourself?
It's hard. I think all of us are trying to be more of ourselves most of the time, and I think it's something that almost everybody struggles with. And I think the first thing is just to not be hard on yourself, because you're not totally able to be yourself. It's really really normal. And for me, what's worked is doing it in smaller ways, little ways, you know? So like one example is sometimes it can be hard to just like tell a friend like, oh, you're such a good friend. Like it can be really vulnerable to say that. And I've started trying to do that with my friends more, just tell them how much I appreciate them, even though that feels very vulnerable for me. But it's like a small step. And then I see like, okay, I can just say more of the truth. I can be more honest. I can be more emotionally honest, and nothing bad is going to happen. And so I think it comes back to those little steps. And also, not everyone deserves your authentic version of you. You don't owe it to anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's guided by what you want and what makes you feel good. And it's also okay if there are people where they don't deserve that sacred authenticity. Maybe that's reserved for, you know, your inner circle. And I think that's okay too.
But do you think it's like bad? Because like if some people are trying to, you know, change it, it's like, I'm just going to say a bad example. Like I've seen a lot of kids vape, and it's like super common in many high schools. And I've seen like, you know, a person vape in front of my like desk, and the teacher doesn't notice. So like they're trying to do that because they want to try. They're trying to act cool in front of their friends, even though it's like, you know, it really results in a lot of health concerns and probably
like
even
peer
death.
Pressure.
So, yeah, kind of like that, peer pressure. So don't you think it's like bad too sometimes if you like change, like a bad change? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So sort of being unkind?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, tell me more about what they're doing, like waving in a disrespectful way, you think?
Yeah, in a disrespectful way. Like they're trying to act like they do know that, you know, these factors, you know, will harm them, but then they're not. Like, they're still doing it even though there's that warning that they have already gotten.
Are they, like, basically, like, since your friends are doing it, you feel pressured, like,
yeah,
you
basically, like,
it.
Peer pressure. I should have said the word didn't come in my head. Yeah, peer pressure, basically.
It's so interesting because I think the most confident people are the people that stick with their stuff and their beliefs no matter what. And peer pressure is totally real. We're wired that way as humans. We really want approval. And I think it's so much more powerful to stay true to yourself all of the time. It's not always easy and we don't always do it, but the people that I have the most respect for are the ones that are not afraid to say the thing that's not going to be super popular, but it's the right thing to say. And I think it's so important to practice doing that even when it does feel hard, because like that's our integrity. That's one of the most valuable things that we have.
So we also need to be able to, you know, like make our own decisions, right? Like sometimes a lot of people are, you know, are too scared to like to make, you know, your own decisions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say.
It's scary because once you make a decision, then you have to take responsibility for it. And sometimes we want people to tell us what to do because then we're not accountable. If it doesn't mm-hmm. work out, we can just blame that person. And I think it takes courage to step up and decide things on our own. But I think the more you get used to making decisions and the more you stay confident in your ability to make decisions, I think the more options you create in your life because you're not mm-hmm. afraid to try different things and you're not mm-hmm. afraid right. to pursue something challenging. So I think making decisions is like a really important thing to get good at and comfortable doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, got it.
Yeah, we have to become, I think, like, more independent and not be like more dependent on people.
Yeah.
Cause I think like, I don't know, it's going to be like, then maybe like difficult for me, like, not to move out of my house and move away from my parents. And cause I'm always so dependent on them and like, you know, like making decisions, I'm always with them, you know, when I make decisions. Right. So like when I move out, like being able to make decisions by myself is going to be like a tough and challenging thing. I think
in the future,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
I remember before I went to college, someone said, when you go to college, everything in your life changes except for you. Like, you make new friends, you're in a new place, academically yeah. it's different, mm-hmm. and everyone has a different experience. I really enjoyed it. That starting over ended yeah. up feeling really good for me in a way mm-hmm. that I wasn't really expecting or anticipating, but I think it's a huge adjustment. And the fact that you're thinking about it now shows a lot of awareness. And mm-hmm. yeah. I feel like with any transition, it's always going to be hard, but yeah. there are only going to be really incredible things about it. So it's going to like, it's going to be high and it's going to be low. And it's just going to shape so much of the direction that your life goes in and your identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think college like really changes a lot for you. It's like a huge impact on you. Like I've heard from my friends who went to college and they were saying like college is much harder than high school because like it's and like a lot of like I think a lot of students too like on, they're like YouTubers and I saw this YouTuber video where she was crying and she was like I'm in Stanford and like you know I was doing good, but then there was this point where like I was not able to study and like I was always getting, you know, grades that were like really bad. So I feel like it's like you have highs and lows even if you go to college and, you know, everything is like fresh and new to you.
Yeah. And also like college is like it's all academically hard, but like exactly. it also is, you know, like mentally hard too because like mm-hmm. there's so many people in college, so much more, and they'll be like, you know, mm-hmm. parties and this and that.
It's and, like you it's, need to choose,
it's
like,
super
do you, should you go?
Overwhelming in college.
Yeah. You're making yeah. friends all from scratch.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's hard.
It's going to be really hard to, you know, like, you know, I guess, stick to your routine mm-hmm. and like, follow, you know, your grades, make sure your grades on top, don't go to, you know you can go to parties and make sure you have fun, but like don't have so
yeah.
much
and like
fun
I feel
that,
like
you know,
when
you fail.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like when we think about it now, we're just like, oh my god, if we go to, it's like we're going to college tomorrow, it's like, oh my god, what are we gonna do, how do we do this, oh my god, have we studied, do that. But then I feel like our maturity will also change eventually and like mm-hmm. we'll be ready for it, so
yes,
yeah, that's
sure.
a good thing.
I think it's also important to have fun in life. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
you obviously there's a lot of academic work in college, but it's mm-hmm. also, at least for me, it was just a really special time in terms of, you know, you get to enjoy yourself without the pressure of a job. You know, you might mm-hmm. be working on the side or something like that, but you don't quite have that same pressure as when you come out of it, I think. And then you're like, no, that's yeah. like the next really yeah. big step. At least that's yeah. what my experience was. And so make sure to also enjoy some of the freedom that you're going to have.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it's so special to get to be in a community with a bunch of people, you know, similar to you in age, all going through this together. So make sure to have fun and make sure to enjoy it too.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Also, high school or college or, you know, even work, we have a lot of struggles and, you know, with mental health. It can be too much work or, you know, the people at school, your co-workers or your friends. It's like so overwhelming, you know, you get anxiety, depression. And how do we, you know, help ourselves with that? Did I word this correctly?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think one thing that has been so helpful for me and for my mental health is like really close friendships. Okay. And I feel like those have sustained me, especially like my really close friends who I've been friends with for a really long time and know me really well. That has been such a stabilizing presence in my life. And I think it's really important to treat that as important as other things in your life, because mm-hmm. that contributes to your yeah. sense of happiness and well-being so much. And you'll make new friendships in college, of course, but then they're going to be the people maybe from your childhood or who you've known for yeah. a long time. And yeah. maintain those friendships. I think sometimes you get caught in the whirlwind of something new, but I think staying connected to your roots also and some of those other things can really help with that. At least it has for me.
Mm-hmm. And like, right. also, yeah. how do we deal with difficult people? Even, like, I don't know, like in school or for projects and stuff, you know, there's so many difficult people, and I don't know, it's always. For me, like, you know, as I said, I'm like kind of like, you know, a shy person. So like, I'm never like the type of person to like talk straight at them and say like, no, you cannot do this. I'm always like saying, oh, okay, you know, sure, do that. But like really in the inside, I'm like melting and like crying. I'm like, what are they doing? I have to do this work all by myself.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So with difficult people, sometimes I like to categorize them and I ask mm-hmm. myself, does this person really violate my values? Like, are they doing something that I just think is wrong and I have a problem with? And mm-hmm. if that's the case, I try to stay far away from them.
Okay.
If it's someone who I don't have a major ethical or moral conflict with, they're just difficult. Mm-hmm. I sometimes see it as an opportunity to learn how to step into the role of the one who's the leader, the one who's more emotionally mature, and sort of ask yourself, like, what is the best possible way that I can show up in this situation, given what's happening? And so instead of coming at it from a place of, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated, or I don't know what to say with this person, really coming at it from a place of, okay, if I was to grow into the most mature, strong person of myself, how would that person handle this interaction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'd be really surprised, I think, what you are able to handle or able to do when you come at it from that perspective.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
Okay, that's good. So another thing that I wanted to talk about is how do we, like, get rid of competition? Like, I don't know, like, for my family and, like, other friends that we've made, so their kids are all like really smart, and I'm just like that, you know, average typical kid who's like, you know, have decent grades, good grades, you know, it's not that too bad, or like fail, you know, fail student. I'm not like that or anything, but like, how do we, and so like a lot of parents like talk about like, oh my god, my child did this, oh my god, she got an A+, oh my god, your child got a 92, wow, what a, and then they just talk about it. So how do we get rid of like competition, and like, how do you like prevent that? Like, how, what should you feel? Like for me, I always get sad if one person gets like a 98 and I got a 92%. And I would be like thinking about it. My parents would like yell at me, and I'm just like, oh my god, it's just a 90, you know, just like 5-7 point difference or a 4, like literally. So I just get so mad, and my parents like, well, you could have worked harder. So how do you like, you know, prevent that, and like, what should you think at that moment?
I think one thing you can ask yourself is, you know, if you tune out all the noise of all the people around you that are being really competitive, and just listen to yourself and ask yourself, what do I think is a good job? What is my standard? What is important to me? Totally mm-hmm. ignoring what all these other people think, and mm-hmm. meet that standard, so that when you're hearing all this outside noise from all these people outside of you, you mm-hmm. can just bring yourself back to, so, you know, let's say your standard is, I'm like, this is the amount of time I'm going to spend studying, and right. this is what I think my best looks like. You put that in, whatever grade comes back, are you happy with how you prepared? Do you personally feel good with how you approached it? And if you do, then you have to come back to that in the moments of the competitiveness and recognize those people are just coming at it from their own perspective, their own experience. And while it might feel frustrating, you can still hold your own perspective, and you sometimes only need to hold it inside your mind and say, mm-hmm. I'm happy with how I did. They're just doing this thing that they do where they get competitive. And I think a 92 is really good, and I'm really proud of it. And you don't even have to, mm-hmm. you could say that to them, but you don't have to. You could just think it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, you should just tell yourself, like, you did good, you did your best, and, you know, let's just be happy with it, like you said. So,
yeah. Learning to congratulate yourself is really a hard thing to do, but mm-hmm. it's really important, because as you go through life and build your career and all these things, sometimes the world rewards you, but sometimes it doesn't. And so I think it is really good to be able to stop and say, okay, am I happy with how I did? Okay, cool. Why am I happy mm-hmm. with it? And just celebrate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So adding on to that, also, like, if you fail at something, or like if you make mistakes, how do we, like, you know, recover from them, being able, how do we stand back up? Because I know sometimes you can make so many big mistakes, and you can fall into this deep hole, and you can keep on falling and falling.
I wanted to add on to what Mega said. Like, so I was gonna say that, you know, like in school you have like an A, and like you take this test, and then you're like, oh my god, I thought, like, you know, you think you did good on it, but then you literally got a really bad grade, and your whole grade just drops down, and you're like, oh my god, how do I get it up? And it's gonna take maybe like 2 months to get it up, because I have to work hard. So like, yeah, so you can answer the question what Mago is saying.
Yeah, so first, I think sometimes when you're going down that spiral, mm-hmm. maybe you just mm-hmm. need to let it happen for a little bit and feel upset for a little bit, but okay. When you've given yourself some time to feel whatever's coming up around that, I think mm-hmm. it's really important to look back at it and try to understand where things went wrong. So
if
you got a horrible grade, it could have been your studying, but also sometimes, I feel like sometimes teachers and professors mm-hmm. write really hard exams or put something mm-hmm. in there that you genuinely didn't think was gonna be on there. So you kind of wanna get to the root cause. Mm-hmm. And once you feel like you've found it, or you have an idea, maybe it's one or two things, you have a general idea, all you have to do is ask yourself, what is the thing that I would do differently next time?
Right.
And bring mm-hmm. that to the surface. And you can't control the past, and it's easy mm-hmm. to get really caught up in that. But at the same time, whenever something goes wrong, there's usually something to learn there, especially if it's academically or in your career. You know, either you could have done something differently, or something happened that you weren't expecting. So you could just ask yourself, like, what's the lesson here? Like, what do I know now that I didn't know before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of relate to what you said. Like, when I study, and like, if I get a, you know, I've also had those moments where like, I got a bad grade, and like, I kind of reflect on like, oh, what should I do? Like, what did I do wrong? Like, did I not memorize this correctly? Or did I not, you know, study? Like you said, like, you should, you know, reflect on what you did wrong, and then like fix yourself from there, and then move on.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to ask, like, how do we deal with anxiety, like if we do get anxiety about, you know, this might be a test or like anything, like how do we help that, like, calm ourselves down?
Yeah, I used to get really bad test anxiety, mm-hmm. Especially if it was a very time constrained test. That was always the worst. Like, if you know the time's not going to be generous. One thing, when I was studying for my law school admission test, the LSAT, mm-hmm. I had someone who was helping me, and after a while he said, like, I think that you already know all the stuff. I think you just have anxiety, and he was like, you need to go do yoga. So
yeah,
part of it was actually, for me, it was physical. I had mm-hmm. to have like quiet time to stretch my body, close my eyes, meditate, yoga. Like, I just needed to learn how to calm myself down mm-hmm. and learn how to get out of chronic thinking. Mm-hmm. The other thing that really helps me is to put together a very simple plan, and it can be so simple, but it helps calm my mind. So if you have a really big test coming up, I'll just go through like all of the things, like, okay, what's my outfit for tomorrow? What am I going to eat for breakfast? Like, I try to map out everything I can in a way that feels like, oh, I'm doing this so that I can feel totally at peace and so that mm-hmm. nothing can trip me up on the day of the exam. And I think that gives me a sense of taking charge and taking ownership versus just like spinning and being stuck in it and not being able to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have like a big exam tomorrow, so
good luck.
Thank you.
Marsh and I are both in online school, and for me, I have a Spanish presentation on Tuesday. So like, I have to record myself, and they're gonna play the video on Zoom class, right? And I have to memorize the whole script, and I was actually talking to Marsha before. I'm so scared, like. I'm so nervous. I hate presenting. And now that it's going to be a video that's going to be played in the center of every single person's screen. It's like, stressing me out. I'm so scared about that.
Yeah, I feel like it's worse when you watch it online, like, you know, on
Zoom.
Yeah,
I'm just going to hide under a table or something. Like that.
Yeah, but then if you're in school, it's like everyone's watching. It's not that bad. I don't know. It's kind of different.
But still, like, I just hate presenting in general, and the fact that it's going to be a video, it's scary for me. So,
oh my gosh. Okay, my heart goes out to you. I'm sending you all of the positive vibes. One thing that's helpful is to have one simple thought to come back to that either feels inspirational to you or that you think is true. So sometimes for me, it'll be really simple. Either like I'm being courageous. Or I'm being brave. And then that makes me, it kind of takes me out of the fear and it puts me in this place of, oh, like I can do this. And so sometimes it can help to think about like what makes me go out of fear and feel like I really want to show up for this and just be like the most badass version of myself.
Okay.
We'll try following that.
I'll try following that too. I don't know. I'm super nervous.
You can make yours even, I'm courageous even when I'm terrified.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's a good motto. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to feel real to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm courageous even though I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I like that.
Nice. It rhymes too. Yeah.
So do you have anything else that you would like to share?
Such a good question. I think the thing that I would want everyone to know is that, I mean, talking to you is making me reflect on high school and college, and I'm going to say something really obvious, but maybe just will remind people to be in the moment, but time goes forward. It doesn't go backwards. And the time that you're in right now, as stressful as it is, there's going to be a point in the future where you have really deep nostalgia. And these are going to be like some of your most cherished memories are going to be from this time in your life and probably from college and your 20s. And so try to do everything you can to just be present in every moment, enjoy the good moments, you know, ride out the moments that are more difficult, but you're so lucky to be at this point in your life because you have so much ahead of you, even though like you're probably not feeling lucky about like the test and the Spanish thing. That video thing sounds very stressful.
Oh my, yeah. This junior year is a stressful year. So
yeah, it's the hardest year.
Yeah.
So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And if there are any other things you're wondering or you'd want my thoughts on or help with, you know, let me know.
Oh yes,
of course.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, do you think should we put a diary? Because like I felt like a lot of my friends, they say like, oh yeah, I write my thoughts down and stuff like that, and it has really helped me. You know, when you grow up and read back, you're like, oh my god, I did this. You know. So, do you think we should keep one? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
That's so interesting. So I found some old ones and I was obsessed with this one boy. And it's like pages and pages. And I was so like, I was mortified when I found it still all these years later. But no, I think it's important to catalog some of these memories, however feels interesting to you, whether it's photos or, you know, we have like a ton, but maybe curating the ones that feel really special or writing, it could be whatever you enjoy, but there will be a time where you're going to be so thankful that you had it, you'll want to look back on it. So I think absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like I should start one, but then I have like no time.
I feel like I'll do it the first couple of days and then I'll be like,
and then just give up.
I like to like journal right in the morning, especially if I'm feeling stressed. Sometimes just a few sentences really helps like get the all the distracted buzzing thoughts out of my head onto paper. It's like a little bit less of a diary and just more of a kind of just helping myself feel a little more stable for the day.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's good. I think we should try that too.
Maybe you can try that, yeah. Because we do feel stressed in the morning, especially before school. Yeah. It's a lot of emotions, yeah.
So, Miss Jessica, you're talking about yoga and how it has helped you. So, I tried yoga for like a few days, but then literally my legs all started hurting, my body started hurting, and then I just stopped. So, like...
Oh my gosh, okay. There's one kind of yoga called yoga nidra. Or yin yoga, and it's literally just being in relaxing poses while they play music. That has been really helpful for anxiety. But yeah, when I wasn't in good shape and I did it, it was torture.
Truly.
Yeah, so I'll definitely do that. Do yoga, like you said, yoga nidra, right? The name was.
Yes, I also really like dancing, but it's
dancing.
I love dancing.
Yeah, it just releases. For me, and I just feel like really happy. So that's like another thing if you're not feeling the yoga.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm not a big fan of dancing or yoga, so like I don't know. I don't know when's the last time I did yoga. I mean, in school we had yoga, and like it never really like it never felt calm. I always felt stressed in yoga. I don't know how.
Yeah,
I guess you have to practice and become like, you know, maybe try meditation or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. I think it's just part of it is relaxation, but I also think part of managing anxiety is fun. And so if it is not fun for you at all, see if there is something that does feel fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. So along with Mega and I, we thank all our listeners around the world for supporting and loving us. Follow at Emery Talks on Instagram for shout-outs and requests. Our active listener shout-out for this week goes to...
At Harshi.bb. Thanks a lot for listening to all our episodes. You always give such great feedback, so we really appreciate it. And thank you so much, Miss Jessica, for joining. We had so much fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This was so fun.
This helped me a lot, especially the career wise and like the anxiety wise. I learned a lot from it. So thank you for joining.
Same here.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
You guys have really amazing chemistry. I can tell you're really good friends.
Thank you. Yeah, we started this during quarantine, so we've had a lot of experience and learned from our mistakes and stuff, so we're still working on it.
I had a lot of fun. I had so much fun talking to you guys, and it's fun to be a little part of your friendship and a little part of your podcast.
We had an amazing time. Thank you for coming.
You too. Again. Mm-hmm. So you will like Miss Jessica's podcast, so make sure to check it out. Also, we're actually in the process of making a brand new website, so stay tuned for that. Have a great day, everyone. It's me, Varsha,
and Mega
signing off.